May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, it's been quite a number of months that we have all anticipated the presidential election. Finally, election day came this past week. But unlike most presidential elections, of course, the year 2000 was quite the exception, we did not know the results that night, nor the next day, nor the day after that, nor the day after that. But finally yesterday, it was declared that former Vice President Joe Biden is our new president-elect. Throughout the week, as people were getting more and more anxious to find out the results, Joe Biden kept saying, wait, be patient. We believe we will win, but wait, be patient. I guess he was operating on that old saying, all good things come to those who wait. Earlier this year, when we got the news that this COVID-19 virus had hit our nation, had hit our state, had hit our city and communities, we all waited to see what that would mean for life in this time. Many of us began to quickly buy things because we heard that certain supplies would not be available anymore, like toilet paper, like hand sanitizer, like alcohol or alcohol wipes. Many things people ran to the stores to get. I remember going with my significant other, Richard, looking for toilet paper and finally finding some in Walmart. I was in the store, he was in the car, and they were just rolling out this cart to get to the shelves, to put on the shelves. It didn't make it to the shelves. People were grabbing as the cart was rolling. I managed to get one for me and one for Richard and his family. As they were the big packs, I called him and I said, come in here now, which he did. And we waited on the long line to pay for them, only to find out that his middle daughter, who lives in Staten Island, didn't have any at all, not a roll of toilet paper. And even though her daughter worked in Stop and Shop, she still couldn't get any. So I decided, well, as long as I have one pack home, I will give this to his other daughter. So I did my sharing, but 2 days later, I went searching and searching and searching to get more toilet paper. I went to 14 stores. 14. And finally had luck in the 14th. And I really stocked up. And then I read in the Synod e-letter on the prayer list, let us pray for those who hoard. Well, I started off sharing, but I ended up hoarding. But that's how we initially waited for this virus to see what it would do to our communities. We prepared, we got enough oil, that is toilet paper, hand sanitizer, whatever. But we also know that we also knew that we needed to share. St. Stephen's has been waiting since January for a new pastor. And now, 4 weeks from today, you will have the opportunity to call one. How will you prepare? Well, you'll get the word out. You'll make announcements. It'll be in the bulletin. It's in the newsletter. Perhaps you'll make calls. Perhaps you'll send out a first-class mailing. You'll let everyone know that this is happening. Perhaps you will make sure that the pastor's office is exceptionally clean and neat. But more to the point, it certainly would be a time to pray that this, in fact, is the candidate that God has sent, and that God will bless your new life together. There's all different ways that we prepare, waiting patiently, stocking up, sharing, praying, cleaning. Well, this particular gospel text, one of three parables in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the chapter right before the beginning of the Passion reading. This particular parable, the one of the wise and foolish bridesmaids, was written because the people of Matthew's day had grown impatient, waiting for Jesus to return. They had understood that even though Jesus rose from the dead, even though he ascended into heaven, he would be returning. But three generations after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, he still had not returned. And it is now the year 90 in the Common Era. People's loved ones had died. How would they be raised in the resurrection when they had died? We know Jesus is coming and will take us up in the air, they said. That's what Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians. What about the dead? Will they rise too? How much longer
do we have to wait?
Well, here we are, 2 millennium later, and we're still waiting. But this particular parable was to tell us not when, but how to wait. It, of course, tells the story of these 10 bridesmaids who were, I'm sure, overjoyed at the prospect of being wedding attendants. There's not much information about wedding customs in Galilee in Jesus' day. There is some thought that the bridegroom came to the bride's house and that together they all processed to the groom's house. And that perhaps was the reason the bridesmaids were waiting for the groom to arrive to begin this big procession. Five of the bridesmaids had their lamps, which was expected because, of course, it was at night, but didn't bring any backup oil just in case the wait was longer than expected. But five did bring some extra oil. They waited and they waited. Still no groom. They waited to the point that they grew tired, and all 10 of them fell asleep. And then at midnight, finally, the groom arrives. Some think that he was busy negotiating the wedding contract with the bride's father. There must have been some contract to take that long. In any case, it's time for the bridesmaids to go into action. They all trim their lamps, but the 5 foolish bridesmaids found that their oil was almost gone, whereas the others had enough. So the foolish said to the wise, "Share. Give us some of your oil. Give us some of your toilet paper." But the wise said, "No. If we give to you, then none of us will have enough oil, and we won't make it to the groom's home in the dark." They advised them to go purchase oil. In the process, the groom is now ready to be part of the procession. The 5 wise usher him and the bride to the groom's home for the celebration, but the foolish had not yet returned. When they finally do, they go straight to the groom's home, knock on the door because it's locked, which is interesting in itself, and they're told, "No, you can't come in. We don't even know you." "Well, no, they're dressed as bridesmaids. They look like the other bridesmaids, but they're told we don't know you and you can't come in." And the parable ends with the words, "Keep awake." for you know neither the day nor the hour. Which, of course, was Matthew's way of saying, we don't know when Jesus will return. But until then, keep awake. How do we keep awake? How do we prepare? How do we get everything ready? How do we live as we wait? When we're waiting to hear news of a loved one who is ill, to find out if they successfully made it through the surgery, we sit, perhaps we pace the floor, perhaps we knit or crochet, but most probably we pray. And we commend our loved one to God's care, that God do what is best. When we're waiting to hear if we got into the college of our choice, or to hear if we got that promotion or that raise, we wait, we pray, we hope. How do we prepare for the kingdom of God to come near? Well, of course, on this side of Jesus' death and resurrection, we know that the kingdom of God has come near and is already. And yet, all has not yet been revealed. How do we live? Well, according to this parable, we prepare and have the things that we need to live as God's children in the here and now. We have our scriptures, and we study them and pray them and learn from them how to live Christ-like lives. We prepare with prayer for all of our global community. And we prepare by showing mercy and forgiveness and help to the other in our lives. We treat others as Jesus treated us, who gave his life so that we might live reconciled to God. We live our lives caring for our neighbor, loving our neighbor even when they're not easy to love, because Jesus did the same for us. We don't just live our lives willy-nilly, lazily, saying, we got time. Not going anywhere yet. Jesus isn't coming back yet. We live every day as if it's our last. We live every day as if Jesus might come. We live every day in the richness of knowing the joy that comes when we care for others. We live active Christian lives. We actively love. We actively share. We actively care for. We do what we can to live God's kingdom in the here and now. And we trust that in so doing, others will be blessed, and we too will end up being blessed. We know that our lives will be so much fuller, will have so much more meaning when we live as Christ showed us how to live. The kingdom will not only be something we wait for, but something we enjoy now. Waiting is a part of human life. Patience is a part as well. But as we wait, as we are patient, we are called to keep busy, keep active, doing for others as we would have others do for us, as Christ did for others. We live our lives in joy now, knowing that there is no greater gift than to give our lives for one another. Amen.